Would you open your Bibles, please, at John chapter 19 from John chapter 1 from verse 19, sorry. Gospel of John chapter 1 from verse 19. And I want to look at that passage with you this morning. I've been minister here for over 4 years, and that song that we just sang has been on the list of songs that we've had backing tracks for and could sing any week, but I've chosen not to sing it until now. And the main reason is I don't like it that much myself. I'm a boy who grew up in the Free Presbyterian Church, and we sang psalms, and we still love to sing psalms. I sang old psalms. For me, I don't feel that comfy going and saying, "Jesus, you're the best." It's sort of like you want to high-five Jesus, but I can't actually argue with the theology. Jesus, you are actually the best. And knowing Jesus, there's nothing greater than knowing Jesus. And what we want to look at today is Jesus being known and Jesus being shown by John in this gospel and the different people around that. And to try and say to each other, it is a great thing to know Jesus. The most important thing is to know Jesus. And you can't know him unless you've been shown him. You can't know Jesus unless you've had the gospel, unless you've heard the story. And you can't show Jesus unless you know him. So we're going to look at Jesus known and shown today. And what we've done over the past 2 Sundays together is we've looked at the first 19 verses of John. We've seen who Jesus is. We've seen where he's come from. We've seen in the prologue, these first 18 verses, that Jesus has come from eternity. He is God, and he became man, we learned last week. And we believe that Jesus is still the man who is God at the Father's right hand in heaven. We believe that's who Jesus is, and that by believing in him, we become the children of God. Now, how did all this become known? How is this a story we can share with each other just now? Well, it's because, as John goes on to tell us the story, as he introduces us to the human activity of Christ and to see what he's like, we see people who made him known and shown. And the first one of these is John the Baptist. There was this strange man going around, a man who was wearing different clothes to everyone else. He wasn't completely different. He was sort of like somebody, if you saw a hippie today, you'd be able to recognize them as a hippie. You'd be able to recognize John as an Essene, as one of these people who was a bit different from others. And you would sort of say, well, what are you all about, man? What's going on? And what John was at pains to say, as people came and asked him, when the Jews sent priests to ask him, "Who are you?" He says, "I am not the Christ. I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm here. My job is to make Jesus known. I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. Get ready for Jesus coming." And so what John is saying, and what John is happy to say to us, is that his life is all about making Jesus known. And he's saying that Jesus is the greater one. We heard read that John said he wasn't worthy to untie the laces of his sandals of the one who was coming. Jesus, John is telling us, is the greatest thing. That's what this book is about. It's interesting when you think about the gospel. We're not told it's the gospel we're told it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not about him. It is the story is Jesus. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. For you, it's just about Jesus. And I want to say that, and I want to remind us of that, that the good news is really about Jesus Christ. We're going to move on in John's gospel, and we're going to come to some really exciting things. We're going to hear that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We're going to discover that Jesus came for us. We're going to go and see Jesus sit by a well and speak to a woman who normally would have been considered somebody a Jew shouldn't speak to. We're going to see Jesus heal people who society had forgotten about, people left lying by poolsides with nobody to help them. And we're going to see that Jesus comes and he ministers to the needs of everybody who has needs. He's going to fulfill all of their needs. He's going to be their savior. He's going to give them life. And he's going to show very much that he has come for others to give himself. But what we need to keep remembering is that it's about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. That all of this is done so that all that God is doing is it's for us, it benefits us, but it's to make us people who would know him and who would know him better, who would start to love him. It is about Jesus Christ. One of the other songs we're not going to sing here that is probably popular with some of you is Matt Redman's song, which says, "It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you." We won't sing it here because we would spend a long time just finishing it off. It goes on, "All about you, all about you, all about you, all about you." And yeah. We'll wait till we've got 500 people before we can do something like that. But making it sound like I don't like it too much either. It's not so easy to sing as worship in a church, but it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Our life should be all about Jesus and not selfishly looking at all of this for ourselves. So John comes and he makes Jesus known. Now John himself, as you look through the passage, he has to learn about Jesus. Verse 31, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." John's mum and Jesus' mum were cousins. And they both knew each other was going to have a baby, but John, as he was born, he didn't know him, but he got him, he understood who he was after he saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. He knew who Jesus was. And so what happens when John knows who Jesus was is he starts saying, "Look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then after he does that, his disciples are with him. And John is becoming an influential man. People are wondering what he's doing, and his disciples see him and hear him say, when he saw in verse 36 Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And John then lets his two disciples go, and they go away with Jesus Christ. And I think that's important for us to know too, where the church goes through phases. You have popular people, congregations go through phases of somebody being a big influence in it, and in the whole church, we can name some names internationally. But here's John the Baptist. He is a man who is pointed to Jesus Christ, and when people come along and discover who Jesus is, he's happy to let them go and to follow Jesus. It's all about Jesus, not about building up something for myself. It's all about letting people know about Jesus. And so what happens is that these two men who know who Jesus is, who find out who Jesus is, they are two disciples. Andrew is one of them, and I can't remember who the other one is right now, but when he hears about Jesus, what does he do? He goes and he tells his brother. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We've found the Messiah, that is the Christ." The first thing Andrew did was to go and tell his brother. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to tell people. Told you the other week, last week, that one of the first congregations that got prayed for in the praying for each other's was Dunfermline, and I was asked to give prayer points. One of them was, pray that the people in Dunfermline would feel free and able to tell people around them about Jesus. It's actually quite sad that this has to be a prayer point, that we, the disciples of Jesus Christ, talking to people about Jesus, it's not my place. Maybe I'll try and show Jesus by my love and by my action, we might say. But these people went and said, "Come and see Jesus. Come and see him. He's the best. It's the one." Second thing I asked them to pray for, that there would be a new Christian in Dunfermline every month throughout the year in 2019. How on earth is that going to happen? Are they going to helicopter in to hear the gospel? Is God going to do that? And people are going to bring their paralyzed friend and dropping through the roof, is it, these days? No, it's when people who know about Jesus will go and tell others about Jesus Christ. Because this is how the good news spread. Andrew told his brother Simon Peter. Guess what happens next? Well, verse 40, 43, Jesus makes a new disciple. He finds Philip and he says, Philip, follow me. What does Philip do? And you see what Philip does? Well, he went and found Nathanael and told him, we've found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Things are really cool in Nazareth. That's what we sang in the Nativity song or whatever. But it wasn't the way it was it? It was messy. It was a town of nothing special about that. It could be somewhere in Fife compared to the wonderful capital of Edinburgh that we have. Can anything good come out of there? Well, Jesus has come out of there. And this skeptic, this person who doesn't know, is totally convinced that Jesus is the one, because Jesus says, I saw you. And he says, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He recognizes who Jesus is. And so three people, John the Baptist, he made Jesus known to his disciples. Luke, the Lamb of God. Andrew, he made him known to his brother, Simon Peter, who goes on to become somebody really influential in the church. And then Philip goes to Nathanael and says, this is who he is. That's the story. We've learned who Jesus is, and we should be really excited and go and tell people about him. But the second way that Jesus is made known and shown, or the second way I want to tell you here, is that God made known that Jesus was the one who would save. God made Jesus known. God showed that Jesus was the one that the people should look to. And that's how John the Baptist recognized him. You're going back now to verse 32. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain in him. I wouldn't have known him, except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. It was God who made Jesus known to John the Baptist. God showed him who Jesus was. God authenticated the ministry of Jesus Christ. God sealed the ministry of Jesus Christ by sending the Holy Spirit on him. In the other Gospels, we learn that this happened at the baptism of Jesus Christ, that this is how God made him known. God is at work making Jesus known. And then at the end of the passage, verse 50, Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. At the beginning of his ministry, God makes Jesus known, shows who he is. As he continues in ministry, Jesus is made known by the Father. When we see heaven open and the disciples see some special things, we talk about the transfiguration of Christ when the disciples see him on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. And I would say, through the scripture, and sometimes through other extraordinary means, God continues to make Jesus known, continues to convince people through the reading of his word that it is him who makes him known. I didn't know what Greg was going to say in the children's talk, but we had the Father who has a plan of salvation, the Son who gives himself, and the Holy Spirit who applies it, who takes it. And that's what God is still doing. He's still making Jesus known to different people as they open the Bible and hear the story of Jesus, as they watch their TVs and see the God Channel and some other things that we're sometimes a little bit scared of, and they discover who Jesus is. And strangely and still, through visions, some people are shown that Jesus is the Son of God, especially in places where they haven't access to his word. It's still happening that people are being shown that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and then they're led to know what they should do with him. So God makes his Son known. Now we see that Jesus himself makes it known who he is. We're in John's Gospel. One of the things I'm trying to tell you as we go along is that John's a brilliant guy, a brilliant writer, somebody that just leaves you with more unanswered and wonderful questions as you go along, and hopefully we'll see that. But I want you to notice the first words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. Do you know what they are? You find them in verse 38. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want? What do you want?" Well, that could just mean, "Why are you following me? What do you want? You're annoying me. What do you want?" When it comes from the lips of Jesus Christ, could it be a much bigger question? Could you start to see that when somebody says, "What do you want?" that he's actually somebody who might be able to give you what you want? If I was to ask you, "What do you want?" let me summarize what you want. I think I'd probably summarize for everybody. That would be that you'd get rid of a few problems and that you'd be happy forever. You don't want to be sad. You don't want to be miserable. Thing is, you and Jesus might have different ways of thinking how that's accomplished. You might think you will be happy forever if you have enough money, and you would get rid of all your problems if only you were licensed to hold a handgun. You know, that might be your way of sorting out the world, sorting out your life. But you're actually listening to Jesus Christ. What do you want? It's very pregnant. It's got a lot in it, because he is the one who is able to give you what you want but maybe didn't think you needed. And so we have this question. And I guess if I asked you, "What do you want?" without giving you a lot of time to think about it, you might go, "Well, a cup of tea just now would be fine." You're going on a bit long or whatever, but you'll get that in a wee while. What did they say? "I want to see where you're staying." Yeah. If I asked any of you, "What do you want?" and you said, "I want to come to your house and see your bedroom," I'd go, "Huh? Really? Is it a bit of a funny answer?" Yes. Why? I don't know what it really means, and I don't know if they knew what they really, really wanted at that time. But what we're starting to see is that Jesus is the one who is able to give us something that we need. He might not give us, we might not think we need what he offers at this stage. You might not think you need what Jesus offers. Luke, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You might not think that's actually what you need right now. You need peace, you need happiness, you need to be provided for, you need confidence, you need him to take pity on you, you need him to give you money, you need him to stop Brexit, you need to make Brexit happen faster, you need him to do this or that. What do you want? Well, Luke, who he is, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he is able to do that because he is the one who can do it. And actually, he can do it because Jesus knows who he is, but he also knows who we are. When you start to think, "Is he really the greatest? Can I really trust him?" Yeah. Because see how he's introduced to Nathanael. "Well, this is the one who the Bible's all about. And can anything good come out of Nazareth?" "You're a good guy, Nathanael. You're just, you're devout. How on earth did you know this? I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree. I saw you yesterday. I saw you when you didn't see me. I saw you. I saw what you were doing. I saw who you are. I know you," is what Jesus is saying. Well, how can he possibly do that? Only by being God. Only by being the one who knows all people. I remember when I grew up, when I went to the doctor, we went to Dr. Fisher. And I think if Dr. Fisher wasn't there, it was Dr. Fisher's wife. And then after Dr. Fisher went, it was Dr. Murray. And all of our family went to these doctors, and sure, they started to know us. They started to say, yes, I treated you for that before. I know you because of the history. And some people want these days of having a personal GP just back again. Probably not going to happen, but what am I trying to say? The one who really knows what you need is somebody who has known you. Well, how long can he possibly have known you? How long has he been here? How long has he been? When did he begin? Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is him. This is Jesus who knows us. And so we can be confident of that. We can see Jesus, and we can see that Jesus has shown himself. Now, I'm not expecting you to think that Jesus is standing at the end of your bed, or Jesus walks into school with you, because people can't see that. Nathaniel couldn't see that Jesus knew what he was going through or knew who he was or anything like that. But the one that we are going to discover about in the Gospel of John is one who really, really knows us, who knows everything about us, who can help us. He's still the God-man who knows what you need and knows where you are. So, if others have made Jesus known and shown him to us, if he knows us and shows us himself, do we know him and show him? How can we? How can we know Jesus? How can we know who he is? How can we know what he gives? How can we be satisfied that he'll give us what we want? Do you know what the second word of Jesus in the gospel is? John's brilliant. I want you to know this, but he's talking about somebody better than him. It's come. Come, and I'll show you. Come, come, come. That's how we get to know Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do to be with Jesus Christ. That's a gospel word that is written in different places in different ways. It's just come. Come. Who is it that says it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ from all eternity, now on earth, and he's able to draw people to him. And as he does, he says, come and you will see. Now, is that pregnant? Is there more to this than just you'll see where I sleep at night? Come and you will see. John is going to go on and tell us about Jesus curing blind people. One of my favorite stories is that there was a man who was born blind. Why did he sin? Why did this happen? Was it him or his parents? Jesus said, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And the man got cured of his blindness, and his friends asked him, how were you able to see? And his answer is, a man called Jesus rubbed mud in my eyes. It's all about a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus. This is who knows you. This is who can help you. This is the one who the story is about. It's a bit like kids at Christmas. Well, what's Christmas about for a kid? It's still about this for me, really, but it's getting presents. It's all about me. Christmas is all about me. And then we sort of try and tell people, actually, it's about Jesus Christ. Sometimes Christians are a bit like that. This story is all about me. Well, it's all for you because the gospel is for you, but it's about Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. And John's telling you to look at him. Look who he is. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He deals with your broken past. He deals with your sin. He deals with what you should be punished for. If you sang Psalm 95 at the beginning of the service, it was a call to worship God. Oh, come and let us worship God. Come and look to God. And this was all very happy until we remembered what happened to the people of Israel when they forgot to remember God. God was angry with them. And because of God's anger, he punishes us. But Luke hears Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. What happens if you come to him? Well, to Peter, he says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who'd heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Christ, that the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Changing your name. What's all that about? Well, we find out more about Simon Peter, but what's Jesus saying? I'm going to change you. I am changing you. I will change you. So we can know Jesus. We can know him as the Savior who can change us, and he's the one who knows us. Maybe you won't see the angels ascending and descending in your lifetime on this earth, but you will see greater things. You will see great things. You will see Jesus himself if you keep on looking at him. So, Jesus is made known to us. Do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as the one who takes away your sin? What do you want? What do you want? Where are you looking for the answer? There's somebody saying, come. Come. And you will see. And you're going, no thanks. I'm not sure. Not yet. You can't. Look at Jesus. You can. And then, lastly, finally, it's our job to make him shown. It's what we can go and do now. We can be like the disciples who go and tell people about Jesus. I don't mean go and practice your quiet Christianity where by giving somebody a cup of tea, they're going to figure out, hey, Jesus came to die for my sins. I'm not saying don't give people cups of tea, but I want you to tell the story. I want you to say, look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want you to go and, like your parents told you, like your brother or your sister told you, go and tell other people and your friends. Go and tell them about Jesus Christ. Because if you do that, you're going to see other people turn and follow him. But I guess we're all a bit scared of doing that. Yeah? Well, we must be, because we're not very good at doing it. One of the things that's comforted me a lot since I first preached through the Gospel of John and discovered this verse. Sometimes when I've been on my own thinking, am I doing the right thing? When I've been fearful, things like that. Just remember this wee verse. Hits me something like a bolt. I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. I saw you. Jesus can see you. Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knows what you're doing. Now, sometimes that verse is a rebuke to me when I'm wishing God wasn't seeing what I was doing. But it's a real encouragement when we're asking, does God know? Is God here? Is he able? In the person of Christ, he knows us because he is God. In the person of Christ, he saves us because he is God. Jesus is made known to us. Let's go from here and make Jesus known to others so that they might be able to follow him, to get what they really want, to be made able to see. Let's pray.